Okay, good morning, gentlemen, and any ladies that may be listening. Okay, so the famous line goes, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." Is this true? Sticks. Have you heard this before?
No. Yes, I've heard this.
You have? Okay.
Sticks and stones
may break my bones, but words will never hurt me.
And we say the opposite.
Usually, yeah.
You say harm me.
Harm me?
Harm me.
Okay.
I thought it was hurt me. Whatever.
Anyway.
No, but
injure me.
I didn't know, I believe for Russian completely different.
What do they say in Russian?
I don't know, but words more harmful than
words are more harmful. Yes. Yeah. So this is obviously a
British.
No, a way of trying to belittle the strength of words, but basically recognizing that words are very powerful. Okay, words are very powerful. Words are an extremely powerful thing.
Discussing every morning.
Yeah.
Yep, as we discuss every morning. So Chazal tell us that that words, right, damage that is caused by words is even more severe, is more severe than damage caused physically, yeah, and damage caused monetarily, financially. Yeah, the damage that can be caused by words are very, very painful. The words cannot be retracted, right? You can repair wrongdoing, right, physically, but by words, there's nothing really you can do about it.
Once they're out, they're out.
Once they're out, they're out. As I told a Meister last year over here between Mincha Ma'ariv one day, of the Chafetz Chaim, someone went to visit the Chafetz Chaim, and he said, "Look, Kavod HaRav, you know, Chafetz Chaim, it's been massive Talmud Chacham, been putting such attention and so much time into the halachas of Lashon Hara, like that there's many other areas of Torah which maybe you should be studying." And so he wanted to prove him a point. He wanted to show him how Lashon Hara is. A very dangerous thing. So he took him up to the roof. Yeah, he walked upstairs, and as he goes upstairs, he passes his bedroom. He says, "Excuse me, 1 minute." Chafetz Chaim walks into his bedroom, closes the door behind him, comes out a minute later, and comes out with a pillow. So the guy's thinking, like, "What's going on? Like, we're going up for a sleepover, like on the Chafetz Chaim's roof." And they walk out. They continue walking upstairs. They go up on the roof. And he tells the man, he takes a knife, yeah, and he slits the pillow, and he shakes it out, yeah, and all the feathers, it was a windy night, the feathers blew all over the town, and he says to the guy, "Go and bring me back every single one of those feathers. Yeah, in the very same way that once the feathers are out, yeah, they spread. They go so far, and they go so far wide, far-reaching, that it's impossible to return every single one of them. So to Lashon Hara, right? We don't know the effects of our words with an individual, but even beyond that, we don't know what's going to happen, what that person is going to tell another person, another person, another person, and the results, the negative results, and the damage that can come out of those words. Okay, so we are going to learn over here. We learn in the morning, every morning, we're learning the halachas of Lashon Hara. Okay, Lashon Hara. And Rechilas, Lashon Hara, is specifically when you're talking behind someone's back, right? You're talking about their shortcomings. You're speaking derogatorily. You're degrading them, speaking evilly, speaking bad. Yeah, and Rechilas is when you tell someone what someone else said about them, right? That's gossip mongering. Yeah, that's acting like a peddler. Lo yiseilech rochel ba'amecha. Don't go like a peddler, stating your wares and showing your wares around. So these are specifically Lashon Hara. These are specifically when you're talking to someone else. Okay, someone else about what someone did, someone else about what someone said about them, right? When you're speaking to the other person. Okay, we're going to see that this is there is it's a different prohibition, it's a different issa, different mitzvah in the Torah, but there is also a mitzvah not to speak derogatorily or not to speak negatively to someone themselves. Okay? And this is the mitzvah called Oinas Devarim. Yeah, Oinas Devarim is causing distress, causing sort of insult, causing distress with your words. Oina is sort of distress. Mm-hmm. We're gonna see as we go through. We'll see a little bit of what the definition of Oinas Devarim is. It might not just be sort of causing distress or causing insult or causing pain, right? There might be a little bit more of an implication of Oinas Devarim, which we'll see some of the cases which are considered Oinas Devarim. We'll see that there's a sort of a rule which starts to develop. Okay, but firstly. Yeah, so some of the questions which we're gonna be able to answer at the end of this is, can you play a practical joke on someone? Right, a practical joke is, you know, it could cause a person distress. Yeah, are you allowed to ask in a classroom setting? Are you allowed to ask a student a question that they don't know the answer to?
Why should that be a problem?
Okay, so let's see. As we mentioned today about speaking about Maisav HaRashonim, mentioning to someone, you know that guy used to be a rubber before he became a Baal Teshuva. Are you allowed to, right? That you're not allowed to do to someone else. Are you allowed to do that to them? Do you remember when you used to be rubber? Right, so we'll see that whether these types of things fall into the category of Oinas Devarim.
There's a question about teacher relation.
Yeah. We'll get that. We'll come back. What would you say? What would you think?
If this is a question you ask, for example, if they're never taught, it can be very, very... I believe it's not proper. But if this is question was discussed many times, if somebody doesn't know, it means there's a problem with teacher, not teacher, but student.
Okay, so it's a problem with a student. Are you allowed to remind them that they're an idiot?
Not idiot, but how to teach.
How is it? What is your way to teach? Your way to teach is to embarrass someone? By asking them a question they don't know the answer to?
Teaching, this is two process. First, teach. Second, to make sure he understands.
Great.
Teach,
know that he still doesn't understand, are you allowed to ask him a question?
How you know?
You know...
You know only after he answer. Before answer, it's only you know exactly. If this is not proper subject, you discuss.
You know whether he has the capability to be able to answer.
Ah,
question.
But this is it's kind of special, special kids. Yeah. No, but special kids are special.
I'm not talking about special
problem.
Kids. I'm talking about this kid.
If you know specifically, if you have a good reason to think that this person is not, are you saying like in asking him in a public, like in front of the class?
In front of the class for sure, but possibly even not in front of the class, just between you, right? And it doesn't necessarily have to mean in a classroom setting, it could be in a work setting as well.
Of course.
Right, if a boss asks an employee, have you done that job, and you know that he hasn't yet done that job.
I believe there is different.
Right, and let's say that he's not, you know, contractually obligated to, you know, come up with it yet. Yeah. He still has another week to finish a project. Okay, so we have some psukim in the Torah. In the Torah, it says, V'chi simkaru mimkar lamisecha, when you sell something to your friend, oi kanoi miyada misecha, or you buy it from your friend, al toinu ish es achiv. You, one, should not cause distress to the other. Okay, one should not aggrieve the other. Okay, that's the first pasuk.
How do you spell
tonu? Tes, vav, nun, vav. Okay, this is lashon oina. Al toinu ish es achiv. When you sell something to your friend or you buy something from your friend, al toinu ish es achiv. You should not. One should not cause distress or cause a grievance to the other. Okay, and the next, a few psukim later, says, V'loi soinu ish es amisoi, and someone should not cause distress to his fellow, V'yoreisam elokecha, and you should fear God, ki ani Hashem elokechem, because I am the Lord your God. Okay, two psukim that are both talking about oina. Right, the first pasuk, when you sell something to your friend or you buy something from your friend, al toinu ish es achiv, you should not cause distress man to his fellow. And the second one, v'loi soinu ish es achiv es amisai, right, and you should not cause distress to your friend, v'yoreisim alikecha, you should fear God, ki ani Hashem alikechem. Okay. Now, if we already said, right, and so what do these mean? What are these, right? What is this, right? So what's the first grievance that we're talking about over here? Loi soinu, al toinu ish es achiv, right, when we're talking about money, when we're talking about purchasing, buying or selling. And secondly, what is the second one which doesn't seem to, right, al loi toinu ish es amisai, do not cause a grievance to your friend, okay? So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, which says, Kishem, sha'ina b'mekach u'memkar, in the very same way that there is a'ina in mekach u'memkar, in buying and selling, in business transactions, there are halachas of a'ina. Now, what is this talking about? There is a halacha in the Torah. This is the source of the Torah, of the mitzvah. There's a mitzvah in the Torah that you are not allowed. There's a mitzvah called a'ina. Aina, which is called Ainas Mamin, right? Distress of money, which means that when you are buying something or you are selling something, you are not allowed to buy, you are not allowed to charge more than a sixth of the value of that, of the market value of that item.
Okay? A sixth beyond
the cost?
Beyond the cost, beyond the going, beyond the going, going cost. Okay, I believe there's a machlokes in the Gemara. It's a sixth on top of it, right? Or a sixth milagavul or milabar, whether it's 1/6 of it or 1/6 above.
Well, you would. I mean, if you're selling it for, you mean 1/6 of the total value?
1/6 of the total value more, or you take the initial value and add a sixth.
So, oh, okay.
Right.
Okay.
So one would come out a little bit higher than the
right,
other.
Right. Okay.
But 1/6, which means that, let's say, the going rate for a Boston hoodie, you know, hooded sweater by Fenway Pool Market, Quincy Market, yeah, goes for 16, goes for $24 or whatever.
You can't sell it for more than 28.
Can't sell it for more than 28. Okay?
Using
and if you would sell it for more than 28, then you have been over, you transgress the mitzvah of oinas mamin, of causing distress by way of money. And is nitin li shavin, and you have to return that difference. Okay, so that is when you're selling, okay, and when you're buying, you're not allowed to buy it for a sixth under the price, if the person selling doesn't know the isn't aware of the price.
Is this to a Jew?
It says v'chisim krumim ka la amisecha, oikano miyad amisecha al toinu ish es achiv. Right, your am sheitcha amisecha, am sheitcha b'mitzvahs. Right, to the people that are together with you in mitzvahs, and achiv is your brother. Right, so right. So that's the first mitzvah. Okay, so when it says...
For practical senses, it says, where this happened? Who is selling? A store? Who is
anything. A store and a heating oil company. Yeah, is not allowed to cause distress by charging too much higher, no. Beyond the asking price, beyond the cost, the regular typical price. Okay, good. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, Kashem sha'ina b'mekach u'memkar, in the very same way that there is oina regarding mekach u'memkar, that there is this mitzvah of oina, of causing distress through business, in buying and selling transactions, kach oina b'dvarim, there is also oina with dvarim, with words. Yeah, there is also a mitzvah of causing distress by words, or prohibition against causing distress by words. Okay? And this is how the Mishnah explains these two psukim. Right? The first pasuk, which says, V'chi simkru, when you buy, when you sell, don't, al toinu, do not cause distress. The next pasuk says, V'loi soinu ish es achiv, and you're not allowed to cause distress to your brother. That's not talking about Mekachu Memkar anymore. What's that talking about? That's talking about Devarim. That's talking about another form of Oino, another form of distress. What's another way that you could distress your fellow? By speaking negatively, by putting him down, by Oinas Devarim. Now the Mishnah goes through some examples of Oinas Devarim. Says the Mishnah, Loi Yoimar Loi, you're not allowed to say to your friend, Bekama Chafetz Zeh. How much is this Boston sweatshirt cost? V'hu eino roitza likach. And he's not interested in buying it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not allowed to go to the market and say, oh, how much does that cost? And you have no interest at all in buying it.
That's Gneva's
stash. A sidebar.
This, according to the Mishnah, is Oinas Devarim. Another example. Im Haya.
A quick sidebar?
Sidebar, yeah.
Okay.
What's a sidebar?
Like a...
Digression.
When I first heard this halacha, it was probably the single thing that made me interested in Yiddishkeit. Probably when I first heard that halacha about not asking shopkeeper the price of something you have no intention of buying. Okay, now okay, back good. To our regular
excellent.
Schedule.
Thank you. So there's something powerful about this.
It's yes. just like you compare
cares.
This to someone who goes into a store and prices out something and then goes to the computer and buys it from a computer.
Computer. That's a competitor.
Yeah.
Going on to Amazon. Right, first you walk into Macy's to check the price, and then you go onto Amazon to buy it.
You ask them, how much is this guy's?
But you're checking, you're taking their time to ask, right? Not just walking by.
It's Gneva's dash.
Right.
If you would just look at the ticket, then, you know, that might be fine.
Mm-hmm. But who is it?
How about whether you're allowed to walk into a shop with no interest in buying anything? The Chayra, that's the same thing.
Same thing.
Okay, we'll see why. We'll get there. Okay?
Actually,
another example of the Mishnah. Im Haya Baal Teshuva. If he is a Baal Teshuva, meaning he was not brought up religious and then, or he stumbled in certain areas and then now he has done Teshuva from those and he's not holding by Maisav HaRishonim, by his early acts, and he's now, you know, clean. You're not allowed to say to him, ah, remember you used to be this, you used to do that, you used to do such and such. 2. 3. Im hu ben geirim. If he is a son of geirim, if he is the son of converts, you're not allowed to say to him, remember what your parents used to do. Right, your parents weren't Jewish. Remember what your parents used to do? Okay, those are the three examples that are brought by the Mishnah. And the Mishnah concludes, Shenemar. As the Pasuk says, V'ger loy soina v'loy sechaltzenu. And a ger... You're not allowed to cause him distress or cause him any form of oppression. Okay, good. Says the Gemara on this Mishnah, Tana Rabbanan. It was taught in a brisa. Lo soinu ishes amisai. Okay, this is the pasuk that we were talking about. You're not allowed to cause distress one to his fellow. But inas tevarim hakosav medaber. The Pasuk is talking about Oinas Devarim. The Pasuk is talking about the Oinah specifically of Devarim. Not the Oinah of Mamain, right? Not oina of money, of business, that's one type, but we're here talking about oina of tevarim. Ha-ketzat, how is this oina of tevarim? So the Gemara is now going to bring some different cases. Im ha-ya bal teshuva, right? Some similar and explain them in a little bit more depth and some different. Im ha-ya bal teshuva, if he was a bal teshuva, he became more religious. Al yoyma lo yizachor ma'aseh avisecha, don't, you're not allowed to say to him, remember your parents, remember your early, how you used to act. Im ha-ya ben gerim, if he is a son of a converts, al yoyma lo yizachor ma'aseh avisecha, remember your parents, what they used to do. Im ha-ya ger, uba, if he himself is a ger, is a convert, and he's coming along to the Beis HaMedrash, he's coming to yeshiva and he wants to learn Torah. Al yoyim alay, you're not allowed to say to him, Peh she'ochal neveloi sutrefei shkotzi remosim bo lilmoy Torah, shenemer mepia gevura. You're not allowed to say to him, I don't know why a person would say such a thing, but you're not allowed to say to him, a mouth the eight nevelus and trefus shkotzim and remosim, the eight, all this treif stuff, yeah, is now coming to learn Torah, which was said from the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very, very offensive. You're not allowed to say that. Im hayu yusurin boin olav, if he had suffering that was coming upon him, right? He had suffering. He was going through a distressing, suffering time. He was suffering. If he was going through an illness or a disease, or he was burying his children, Rachman Litzlan, al yoyim aloy, you're not allowed to say to him, kederech sha'amru loy chaveirov li'yoyv. You're not allowed to say to him, like Eoyv's friends, yeah, so-called friends said to him, halo yiroscha ksaltcha tikvascha v'toyim dorochecha. Scharna mihu naki avoid. Yeah, which translates as, behold, your fear of God should have been your security, the integrity of your ways, your hope. Can you recall an innocent man being lost? Essentially, Eov's friends were telling him, it's your own fault. You're a Rasha. Yeah, you did these things wrong. An innocent man has never been lost. An innocent man never gets harmed. All of this stuff is coming to you as a result of your sins. Yeah, you're not allowed to say that. You're not allowed to say that. Next case. Im hayu chamorin mevakshim tavua. If there were donkey drivers. What do you call a donkey driver?
A balagola, not a balagola.
In English.
Like a mule team driver, whatever. It's just donkey driver, why not?
Donkey driver. Okay, there were donkey drivers, and they were looking for grain for their donkeys, mimenu, from him. Lo yoyim alohem, you're not allowed to say to them, lechu etzel ployni, shehu moicha tevua. You're not allowed to say, go to ployni, yeah, he sells tevua, you can go and buy your tevua, go and buy your grain from ployni, from that guy. V'yodeh boy, sheloy machar ma'olam. And you know this guy's never sold grain. Yeah, you're not allowed to say to him, go and buy grain from that guy who sells grain, but you know that guy's never sold grain. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Af lo yitla einov al hamekach b'shar she'ein lo damim. Also, you're not allowed to look longingly at an item for purchase when you don't have any money on you. Shahare hadavar masur lalev, because this matter is a thing which is right, and this is going on the entire the last cases, yeah, of when you tell a donkey driver, go and buy from this guy, he sells tavua, he sells grain, or you say to the guy, you're sort of looking at an item, right, thinking you might buy it, but you know you don't have any money. This is Masor Lalev. Who knows about this? Who knows whether you're telling the truth about this? Or whether you're just pulling a practical joke? It's only you. It's only you. It's Masor Lalev. It's up to me. Right? Did I do wrong over here? That's a dover hamosel alev, which this is something which is put to the heart. The kol dover hamosel alev ne'mar boy v'yoreisem elokecha. And anything which is put to the heart, which is a matter of your heart being the one to be able to decide, it always says by these things v'yoreisem elokecha, and you should fear God. Right, because there's no one else that knows about it aside from God, and you. Okay, another example of another case, another mitzvah, where it says v'yoreisem elokecha is mipnei seva takum. Right, is one example. Mipnei seva takum, which means that when you have to stand up for an elderly person, okay, a zakein, right? A zakein is an elderly person, but it also means ze shekana chachma. This zakein is a notrikone, which is a shrinked down word. We've been through this before. What was that? Amitecha, similar to amitecha, am sheitcha, right? Zakein is
shorthand.
Shorthand. Okay, that was your word last time. Shorthand. Zakein is shorthand for ze shekana chachma, the person who has acquired wisdom. Okay, so zakein, right, that we're talking about that you have to stand up for, doesn't just mean an elderly person. It can also refer to a person who has acquired wisdom, who's acquired chachma, talmud chacham. Okay, but it says over there, pnei seva takum, v'hadarta pnei zakein. Yeah, you should stand up for a seva, for an elderly person, v'hadarta pnei zakein, and you should glorify the face of a zakein, of an elderly person, ani Hashem, elokecha, or something like that, ani Hashem. I am your Lord. I am God. Meaning to say, well, you could just be sitting on the bus, yeah, and, you know, minding your own business, looking at your book, and maybe you didn't see
the 215.
The 215?
250.
Yeah, you may be sitting on the 250, yeah, and just minding your own business, looking at your book, you saw the elderly person come in. Who knows whether you saw the elderly person come in? Yeah, another example is when in this week's parasha,
obviously you know I did that the other day. So yeah. Thanks.
a lost object, a lost item. Yeah, hashav tashiv. You have to return a lost item. V'hisalam tomihem, which means that you're not allowed to hide from it. Right? Why would you hide from it? Because you may come along and say, well, look, I've got to go through all the effort and the bother to go and return that thing to him. Or you might say, well, I'm an honourable, you know, person. It's einoy lefi kavodi. It's not appropriate for me to schlep a donkey through the market to return it to someone. Yeah. So it says over there, ani Hashem. Also, yeah. So you might just vihisalamtu. You might hide away from it. Who knows whether you hid? Who knows whether you know? Only you, and Hashem. Yeah. Ani Hashem elokechem. So this over here, v'yoreisa melokecha. The pasuk tells us, "V'yoreisa melokecha." You're not allowed to al toinu eish as amisa. You're not allowed to cause distress to your friend. And it says, "V'yoreisa melokecha." You have to fear God because this is one of the things which is masur lelev. Only Hashem knows what your intent was with it. Is your intent to wind the person up to cause them distress, or was it coming from a place of honesty?
But this is what you mentioned. There is not allowed to go in. To see something was very expensive, you don't want money, you don't have money to buy it?
This is one of those things. This is one of those things which is master lalev.
What is wrong?
What's wrong with it? Okay, we'll see exactly these are the things which are called onas devarim. And we'll see why, what is the category, how do we define onas devarim?
I all the time do the same. I go to the Neuber Street, to go to the galleries. The selling very expensive.
Firstly, are they Jewish?
I don't ask.
Some are Jewish.
Some maybe yes, maybe not. I want the picture. This kind for me. It's the free museum.
Educational.
They have.
You go in there as a museum.
No, but there's a gallery. They sell
paintings.
They say painting.
Going to admire the painting.
And this is what I usually do. And the same.
Certain.
Why not? I like. To see, for example, I want to the.
He doesn't plan.
So, and what happens when they come up to you and say, "Can I help you, sir?"
I said no.
You say, "I'm just looking, thank you."
Yeah, no, I'm looking.
Okay.
Well,
so you're.
Could there be like
so you're not
like
stringing
that.
Them along then?
I don't see any. Right. They usually like when I come. They believe maybe I buy something.
But could there be like a case of a place like that where the expectation is that the average person off the street wants to admire the paintings, probably is not going to pay the $10,000.
Maybe they can get them, you know, if they see one they really like. They
not only painting. I like this expensive watch. Why not? I like to watch it.
Window shop.
Window.
When you're outside of the window, though, it's different.
Sometimes outside and inside.
Yeah.
This is many other things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Usually
I'd say probably, presumably, the situation
people.
In the world now with so many shops and the concept of window shopping is very different to how it used to be. What we're talking scenario we're talking about is, you know, there's you go into the watch shop. Yeah, who goes into the watch shop in the shtetl?
Yeah.
No, you set an appointment with the watchmaker.
Yeah.
Like, how do you go? You set an appointment with the watchmaker, and you say, "I'm going to be coming around today at 2:30. You know, I've got a chassan. You know, the my daughter just got engaged to a, you know, and then you're asking about this, you know, about this price, right? With no intention.
No intention.
So it was presumably now window shopping doesn't have the probably does not have the same.
Because the price is right out there.
But there would be cases which are similar, though. There would be cases which may be relevant.
Yeah.
In Stamford Hill, as an example, they actually have situations like that. People have like shops in their like houses in their garage. In their garage they'll have a shop, yes, and you have to call and say, I'm going to come round, I'm looking for a refrigerator, fridge. I want to buy a fridge. Yeah, so there you can't go along. That would be a similar situation. But just going to a shop and looking at window shopping is something which is okay. The Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Godol oinas tevarim, me oinas mamin. Oinas tevarim is worse than oinas mamin. Yeah, distress caused by words is worse than distress caused by money. Why? Shezeh ne'emar boi v'yoreisim alukecha. Because this one says v'yoreisim alukecha. You have to fear God. And this doesn't say v'yoreisim elokecha, meaning the fact that God put his name by Oinas Devarim and didn't put it by Oinas Mamon, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, means that the Oinas Devarim is worse than Oinas Mamon. Rabbi Lazar has a different reason, a different proof why Oinas Devarim is worse than Oinas Mamon. Rabbi Elazar Omer Zeb Gufay Vzeb Mamainai. Because this is with a person's body and this is just his money. Yeah, if you damage someone's body, it's much worse than damaging someone's money.
Not everyone agrees.
Not everybody would agree, that's a problem.
Right.
That's
people,
a problem.
Some people like
that's
money
a,
more than
that's a big problem. There's a Gemara or Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. No, Reisa Adam Shemoinai Chaviv Alavim Yosim Megufay. Yeah, have you ever seen a person whose money is great, is more dear to him, more precious to him than his body? Yeah, unfortunately, we do see such things. But these people are cuckoo.
Yeah.
They're cuckoo.
You know, the rabbi gave a shir here when he spoke about a living the high life. And he gets out of his Maserati, and a car comes by and swipes by and leaves a big huge scratch on the side. It's an Aston Martin, let's say, leaves a big huge scratch on the side, and also happens to take his arm off, and he's looking and he's saying, my car, £200,000. Down the drain, and somebody comes, sir, didn't you even notice your left arm? He looks, he took
my Rolex too.
Okay. All right.
Nice. Nice.
Such a joke.
Sorry, what's a Maserati?
Okay. Such a joke.
Okay, and Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani Omar, and Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Nachmani, says a different reason. Ze nitin lihishavin, ve loy nitin lihishavin, as we said at the beginning. This one can be returned, and the other one can't be returned. When it comes to money, oinas tavar, oinas mamin, return the money and you're done. Oinas tavarim cannot be repaired, cannot be fixed. Yeah, so these are three reasons why Oinas Devarim is worse than Oinas Mamim. Yeah, one, because in the Pasuk it says, V'yireisim Elokecha, God obviously sees it as a much more strict thing to put his name by it in the Torah. And the second one, because this is Gufoi, and this is B'mamayno, this is affecting the body and this is just affecting the money. And thirdly, this one can be fixed, can be returned, and the other one cannot. Okay, so firstly, what we saw from this Gemara over here is that there are two parts to Einar. Okay, there's Einar's Mamein is the first pasuk, talks about Einar's Mamein. Then we have Einar's Devarim. Okay, and then we had the list of the list of things which are included in Einas Devarim. Okay, so the three things that the Mishnah listed were: one, asking to buy something you have no intention of buying, yeah, asking the price of something; two, reminding about Teshuvah of, you know, his former lifestyle; and three, reminding someone whose parents are converts, about how his parents used to act, that were not Jewish. Okay, then the Gemara brought a Braisa, which brought another bunch of examples as well. One, reminding a Baal Teshuvah, right? That was from the Mishnah. Two, reminding a descendant of converts. Okay, that was also in the Mishnah. And then others, talking badly to a convert himself who came to learn Torah by telling him, you know, your mouth is dirty with all this treif food, and now you want to learn Torah. Okay, that's the first new thing that the Gemara taught us. And the second one is when a person's going through Yisurin, yeah, a person's going through struggles and suffering, telling him that it's his own sins that brought that upon him. And number five, directing potential buyers to go and buy something from somewhere where you know they don't sell it. And finally, being apparently interested in buying something that you have absolutely no intention, you don't have any money on you, and therefore you can't afford, you're not planning on buying. Okay. The Rambam has a little bit of a different list over here. Okay, and we'll see from the Rambam if we can get a definition of how we sort of define this Oinas Devarim over here. What is the rule, the principle of what's included in Oinas Devarim? So the Rambam says like this, in Mishnah Torah, he says, Ketzad hoyo, ketzad. How is this mitzvah of Oinas Devarim? Hoyo bal teshuva, if he was a bal teshuva, lo yoyim aloi, zchor ma'asecha rishonim. Okay, that one we've seen before. Yeah, if he's a bal teshuva, you're not allowed to say to him, remember your old ways. Ve'im hoyo ben gerim, if he was a son of converts, lo yoyim aloi zochor masecha, masei avisecha, remember your parents' ways. That we saw also. Hoya ger ubolil mo Torah, if he was a ger who came to learn Torah, you're not allowed to say to him, you ate treif, you're not allowed to learn Torah. And hoya chaloyim visorim boyin alov, or he's burying his children, rachman litzlan, you're not allowed to say to him that it was his own sins. Fine. Number four. Next, in another halacha, the Rambam says, you had donkeys that were after grain, you're not allowed to say, go to this guy, knowing that he never sold it.
When you're doing that, is it more the issue that you're putting the guy, the would-be seller, on the spot, putting him in an uncomfortable predicament where...
Excellent question. Excellent question.
Because you're causing you know.
Amazing question. We're going to come on. We are amazing, amazing question. We're going to come on to that. We're going to come on to that. Yeah, and finally, the Rambam says like this: Nish'ala she'ila al dvar chachma. If you were asked a question about a certain dvar chachma, a certain matter of chachma, of wisdom, lo yoimar lemisha eino yodea oisa chachma. Do not say to someone who does not know that chachma, that wisdom, matashiv b'davaze. What would you answer this? Oi, ma daitcha b'davaze. Or what's your opinion about this? Okay, this is the Rambam's addition. The Rambam added this. This was not from the Gemara or the Mishnah. Okay, the Rambam added a final point that if you had a question, you're not allowed to ask someone that you know they don't know anything about it. You're not allowed to say, what's your opinion of this? What would you answer this question? Okay, v'chein kol k'yotze b'dvarim halolu. Everything similar to these are all considered oinaz dvarim. Okay, so what do we see from the Rambam? That he, in his list, okay, he added this final thing about asking a question, and he omitted two cases. He left two cases out. The cases he left out was asking the price of an item that you have you're not intending to buy, that he left out. Okay? And also showing an interest in buying an item that you don't have and that you can't afford. Okay, those two he left out. Which is very interesting.
For good or intentionally?
If the Rambam omitted cases,
he knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing. Yeah, the cases are brought in the Gemara, in the Mishnah. In the Gemara, he left them out. Okay, so what case is he left with? He's left with cases like, yeah, don't say to a Baal Teshuvah, don't speak badly about a Ger, or about Ben Gerim, the children of converts. Yeah, you're not allowed, yeah. and you're not allowed to say, you know the answer to this question, yeah, what's the answer to this question when you don't know? Those are the cases he did include. What are the cases he didn't include? Asking the price of an item which you're not interested in buying, or showing interest in buying an item where you can't afford it. Okay? What's the difference between the cases that he included and the cases that he didn't include?
The cases he didn't include strictly involved monetary issues and not issues of dignity or, you know.
Not, what do you mean by not issues of dignity?
Well, that you are not embarrassing the person in any way.
Amazing. Great. Okay. The Rambam included cases of embarrassment. Mm-hmm. There are cases where you can embarrass someone. Saying to a Baal Teshuvah, remember what you used to be like before you became a Baal Teshuvah, which, by the way, is so common and it's so horrible. Often, very often, I can't tell you how many times I've been to Sheva Brachas, of Baal Teshuvah, where it happened even in my own Sheva Brachas. Yeah, we go to Sheva Brachas of Baal Teshuvah. They just got married, tonight, they're now, an amazing, from family, from community. They might have even got married to, FFB from people and, have all their Rosh Hashiva around everything. And, the Rosh Hashiva gets up or their Rebbe gets up and says, I remember when this guy walked in the door long for the first time with his long hair and his this, and he was eating that and he was doing that and he was all messing around with that. You have to know who you're talking to. You have to know who you're talking about. It can be terribly embarrassing for someone. Right. It can be terribly embarrassing for someone. But people are so flippant with it. They're just so casual. Right. That's called Oinas Devarim. Oinas Devarim. It's also
Medir Reiser. You have to know the case, know the person.
You have to know the case, you have to know the person. It could be the person.
Every person wants to publicize how far they've gone. for everyone that wants to publicize how far they've gone, there's somebody else that would just as soon not have his past
mentioned. Right, exactly.
You know?
Exactly. I've been at places.
I used to rob banks, I used to that, and now
it's so awkward. You know, where you hear this person bringing them down, and this is what they were, and that was so awkward to hear it. Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish.
Right.
Reish Lakish,
the intention Rabbi Yochanan. Is obviously show how much they've grown, but that might not be what they want to hear. Yeah, you're right.
Okay, this is embarrassing. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassment. Yeah, when you say to a ger, remind him of what he was doing. When you say to someone, oh, you know the answer to the question, when you have no, they don't know the answer to the question. That's all case of embarrassment. Mm-hmm. There's another category which is not a case of embarrassment, but a case of some sort of distress, right? It's not embarrassing. It's misleading.
Misleading.
Yeah, misleading.
And causing them to have high hopes, obviously, causing the merchant to have high hopes.
You can do some business.
Now there's a slight digression now that is made in the notes which addresses your question. Okay, the case of the Gemara. The Gemara brought the case that you have these chamarim, these donkey drivers who are wanting to buy tavur. They want to buy grain, and you say to them, you know, go to Pliny. He sells grain. Yeah, and you don't know, or you know that Pliny does not sell grain. He never sells grain. Yeah, what is that? What's the oina over there? Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have a machlokes. Okay, Rashi says like this: Shari adava masor lelev the Gemara said this is one of the matters which is put to the heart. Yeah, no one else knows about it. That's why it says you have to fear God. Shahari, for behold, kol advarim halalu. Ein tovos and veras and mesura lahakir. All of these matters, the good or the bad, is not recognizable. You're not able to recognize it. Ella lelibay shalaisa, except to the person who's actually doing it or saying it. Hu yodea im laakel im laakalkalos. He knows whether he's being honest about it or whether he's being deceiving about it. V'yochel hu loymar. Loya sisi kiem l'toiva. Haisis, yeah. I was trying to do good, right? I was trying to do the right thing. Haisis savor. I thought sheyesh l'cha tavua. I thought you did have tavua. Yeah, I thought you had grain. Limkor. Oi haisi chafes liknois mekachze. Or I wanted to buy this thing. Mm-hmm. Okay. What do we see from Rashi? Who are we concerned about when we're selling the? When we're sending the donkey drivers to this merchant, to the seller, we're concerned about the seller. I thought you had grain, right? I didn't know about it. I thought you had grain. Rashi understands very clearly. Yeah, very clearly. Rashi understands that the person we're concerned about is the seller,
potential seller,
the potential, or the wrong seller, right? I sent them there. I thought you had grain, right? We don't know. Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. But you're Eitzim Elokecha. Right, that's the mitzvah of Einas Tavarim. Okay, that's according to Rashi. The Kesef Mishnah, who is the Beis Yosef, the commentary on the Rambam, he says, when the Rambam brings this case, Hayu Chamorov, Mevakshim Tavua, when the people were looking for grain, Ef Shalafarish and Nishan Eskabin Evayish Balabayas. You can understand it, interpret it as that his intention was to embarrass the Balabayas, the seller, right, the owner of the store. Sheshal Chametzlei, they sent him by him, Loimar, to say, Shehu Meicher Tavua, that he sells grain. I thought he sold grain. V'hu Loimar Chamer Olam, and he never sold. V'chein Nira Medivrei Rashi Bahazov. This is how Rashi understands it, the Rashi that we just saw. Inami, alternatively, Sheniskavein Levayesh Lechamorim, that your intention was to embarrass the donkey sellers. That they are going to go and say, oh, I'd like to buy some grain, please. And then he'll say back to them, I sell grain? I sell watches. What are you doing here? Get out of here. Yeah, and then it comes out they're going to be embarrassed when they go into that store. By the way, as a sidebar, Nevarduk, which is the school of Musar of Nevarduk, the school which was the sort of opposite of Slobodka. Slobodka was very much focused on the gadlus ha'adam, the greatness of man. They dressed like aristocracy, they treated themselves, they have a neshama. We're mamleches kohen and v'goy kodesh. We're a nation of kings. Yeah, they acted with absolute highest, yeah, the highest level. Yeah, that's the godless heart and the greatness of man. Nevarduk was their way of working on themselves was actually to bring themselves down. Yeah, it was actually the shiftless hardom, was the lowliness of man. Yeah, what are we at the end of the day? Yeah, flesh and blood, and where do we come from? From a tipos rucha, yeah, from a rotten drop, and we're going to the makim off of a rim of a seleah. Yeah, we're going to a place of maggots and worms. Yeah, so they focused on that, and the Varadok focused on that. They would. The ways that they would work on themselves to bring themselves down, to destroy the ani, the anoichi, the self-centered, the
sounds like the Marine Corps.
The way they would break themselves would be, yeah, they would roll around in the snow. That's something in the Varadok. They would roll around in the snow. They'd go out and roll around in the snow. Yeah, bring themselves down, make them feel the pain and feel a body, feel how lowly you are. Yeah, another thing they would do would be they would go into a store, yeah, and they would go into a watch store and they would ask for grain. And they'd be shooed out by the storekeeper. Yeah? You think I'm a grain seller? Get out of here! Kick him out the door. Yeah, and that would the embarrassment would be their avoda. They would work on that embarrassment. That embarrassment would bring them down. So they're obviously learning, like the Kesev Mishnah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Kesev Mishnah who says that the Einar, yeah, you're not allowed to cause embarrassment to the people, because he's learning. The Kesev Mishnah is obviously learning that it is not Einar for the seller. Yeah, the seller is just, you know, that's a joke.
It's inconvenience. Yeah.
It's not enough of an inconvenience.
He has to look out from, get up from his paper.
Yeah, according to Rashi, it's the inconvenience to the seller. The seller is going to be like, what are you coming to me? Why are you wasting my time? The Kesev Mishnah doesn't learn like that. Kesev Mishnah says it's the embarrassment that's caused to the people that are going in there. So the Varadok, where they wanted to get that embarrassment, they would specifically go in there.
What is the purpose of the Varadok?
The purpose was to lower themselves, to get rid of the gaiva, the arrogance, and to recognize that they are just.
Does it make sense or not?
Sorry.
Make sense.
Sure, it makes sense. But both of them are. But they're different mahalchim. They're different methods.
Means,
they're different paths.
I read a different positive about Nevarduk also. It's not only because they down, they make maybe neshama to.
Yeah, that as well. They wouldn't totally bring themselves down. They also did. There was also other things which they did to bring themselves up. But it was more of a neshama. It was more of a bring down to build up. Knock them down and then build them back up again. Mm-hmm. That was the mahalach of my rebbe in yeshiva.
The US
he would knock us down and then he'd build us up. Yeah.
Want to hear a story?
Yeah, sure. We can, so maybe we'll...
It's related to what you just said.
Yeah.
I remember years ago, this is a true story, I went into the Israel bookstore, Mr. Dovet, the younger man back then, and he was at the counter, and I worked him, and I said, he didn't know me, he never saw me before, maybe, I don't know. He said, I'd like to buy some black paint. And he said, we don't sell paint. Well, please sell me some paint. I need some black paint. He said, sir, we don't sell paint. I asked the third time. He said, you know, there's a store down the street, hardware store. You could go in there, and I believe they may have some paint they could sell you. He was very polite to me. Didn't get distressed. He was very nice to me. He says, no, I want to buy the paint here. Sir, you don't understand. We don't sell paint. Why do you want paint? He said, well, to paint my tefillin, they're chipped a little bit. And he said, ah, you want
coloring for your tefillin. Come, come, I'll show you what we have.
You don't know?
But he did not bring out a gallon of...
which cost more than a gallon of paint.
But the thing is, he handled the situation in such a beautiful way. Didn't get distressed.
Yeah.
Calm, trying to be helpful to me.
Well, you know
how I pushed. I pushed and pushed.
Yeah.
And he handled it beautifully.
That was your story. You did that.
I did that. I don't know why I did it, but I did it.
If you this has happened in Russia, you did not tell the story because it was last visit store.
So I have a
so proud of him.
I have a few stories too.
He's so good.
Okay, so we'll end here and we're gonna have story time.
Okay.